Hi folks, it's the Reverend Steve Morris here from St Cuthbert's, North Wembley. Thank you so much for joining me for this very short Victory in Europe Day service. I'm so glad that you're here. It's really wonderful to be able to mark this extraordinary day in our nation's and many nations' history. We pray. Dear friends, we have come together on this day to commemorate the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe, when the sounds of war fell silent on this continent. We come together conscious of our need for God's forgiveness for the sin and the desire to dominate others that leads to conflict between people and war between nations. And as we remember the many soldiers, sailors and airmen who gave their lives restraining evil and opposing tyranny, so we also come in thanksgiving for the years of peace that the nations of Europe have enjoyed since the Second World War. We gather joyfully today as those who gathered on that first Victory Day, glad of each other's company and grateful for the laughter and love that follows times of sadness and loss. But above all things, let us pray that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we say, and we're going to say now the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our readings today, there are two readings. The first is from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Second reading is from Revelation, chapter 21, beginning at the verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." They really are the most beautiful readings, aren't they? And they're so resonant as we think about, cast our mind back to VE Day and what was happening on that particular day. It really was a day when people were released from darkness and from being and feeling prisoners. And of course it was a kind of tiny vision as peace began to come of the new heavenly city where pain is no more. I love those readings, but for me, I know that VE Day is a very bitter sweet day indeed, and it is, I'm sure, for many people. May the 8th, 1945, and the whole country is celebrating, well, nearly the whole country. After all those years of suffering, you could kind of breathe again, no more bombing, and the chance to get back to normal. Recently, I found a photo of a VE Day street party in Mill Hill, North London. There's bunting and tables and Union Jack tablecloths and people with arms around each other and celebrating. But if you look closely, you will spot one boy who isn't smiling. He's on his own and is awash with obvious sadness. That boy is my father, and he's overcome with sadness because his dad will not be coming home. We have to go back a few years before this day to understand the relentless pressure of the war on the civilian population. My grandmother was an East Ender from Canning Town. She was profoundly deaf and used to lip read. They were amazed that she found a husband. His name was Ernie, a piano player in the pubs in the East End. And by all accounts, it was a very happy marriage and produced two children, my dad Ralph and his sister Doris. The war, of course, took an ominous toll. The East End got an absolute pounding. And it was difficult for my dad because his mum was deaf, so he had to stay with her so they could hear what was happening. And one day, his school took a hit from bombs dropped by the Germans, and most of my dad's friends were killed in that. Indeed, he was bombed out later on in the war as well. They relocated to Mill Hill, a council flat. And one day, my grandmother had a terrible dream that her precious Ernie was dead and laying trapped in the flat. The next morning, she received an official letter telling her that he was in fact a prisoner of war captured at Monte Cassino. Maybe they could all relax. But war is a hotbed of administrative foul-ups. And a few months before VE Day, she received another letter saying that Ernie had died in the prison of war camp. They were appalled and devastated. But soon after that, another letter arrived, apologising for the error, that Ernie was still alive and all was well. Unbelievably, just before VE Day, they received another letter with a single line telling them that Ernie was actually in fact dead, that there had been an administrative error. Hopes had been raised and dashed. And so we have the picture of young Ralph Morris dressed in his best gear at a Victory in Europe party that he wished he wasn't at. His mother, my grandmother, is nowhere to be seen. Years later, the family managed to get hold of the diary that Ernie kept while in the prison of war camp. It's full of wry London humour. He talks about how hungry the men were. He explains how one day the camp received a visit from the Pope. Ernie, ever the Londoner, simply writes, "Pope came to visit us today. Didn't think much of him." Touché. On the day of his death, there's just one sentence in the diary: "End of a very bad day." We've often wondered what that bad day consisted of and why it all happened. We have been told many things, but we have had information that he was shot by a prison guard, or maybe he had meningitis, we don't know. The war rippled into my family history, because all wars do. War may have been over, but there are consequences, and much heroism is needed to deal with what happens. The coming home or not coming home is just part of the struggle for normality. That generation, my father's generation and others, were extraordinary. They managed, or at least tried, to put things behind them. My dear father wrestled his whole life with the aftermath of his father's death. He would wake up with dreams. He was sometimes anxious and got into a state. In a way, he was still fighting the war that his father had died in. And he was, of course, just one of many. We grew up with his anguish, and it leaves a mark. So on the anniversary of VE Day, I honour all those who came back and those who didn't. The war costs so much, but it speaks to me and always has. Freedom doesn't come for free. It never has. And so, let's now make an act of commitment. We pledge ourselves to the service of God and our fellow men and women, that we may help encourage and comfort others and support those working for the relief of the needy and for the peace and welfare of all nations. God our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all humankind in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. guide us by your Spirit, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. Amen. And so we finish with two special prayers. For those who served and died in World War II, O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those men and women who have died in active service, particularly in the Second World War, whose sacrifice brought victory in Europe. As we honour their courage and cherish their memory, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. Amen. And finally, we pray for those who serve today. O Lord God of hosts, stretch forth, we pray, your almighty arm to strengthen and protect our service men and women. Support them in times of conflict, and in their rest and training, keep them safe from all evil. Endue them with courage and loyalty, and grant that in all things they may serve without reproach. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much for joining, friends. There's also, you'll find a file where we've had some special music that our dear friend Anna has played. And why not, just turn this off and listen to that and reflect on this auspicious day. Amen.